Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
How do you keep up your children's math and reading scores in the summer? You know, their levels, just to get them. Kids don't really want to think about school in the summertime. So what do you do? Can you come up with little tricks to keep them working their math skills, or do you actually sit them down and give them homework? My guest is a fan favorite here on Healthy Children, Dr. Corey Cross. She's a pediatrician and spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cross. What do we do? How do we get our kids to read and do math and things in the summer?
It's a tough challenge for parents to try to balance that taking time off, but also just not losing all those skills that they've worked so hard during the year to build. And I'm a real fan of balance. I don't think that you need to do anything every day during the summer to make sure. And I don't love the idea of like parents going out and getting tutors for their kids or having like a set hour where they're doing their work. I just think it is summer and summer's fun and I loved summer and I want my kids to really enjoy summer. But at the same time, I want them to, you know, not take a whole 2 to 3 months off from thinking. And so I think that that's really important to think about the fact that they are going to sit down and they're going to play some apps or video games and stuff. And is that all that they should be playing all the time? So I think that really what you want to accomplish is balance. So you want to have set goals for yourself that you can really accomplish. So if you were to say, we're going to do something every night, that's probably not going to happen. And once you miss it a couple of nights, you're less likely to really do it. But if you set something that's attainable, like 3 times a week, I'd like us to do something somewhat educational, I think that's much more attainable. And I think there's a lot of fun things that you can do besides going out. I mean, some parents, they like to go out and get those workbooks. And you can get workbooks fairly cheaply at the dollar store, at Target, any place like that, that are pretty decent for younger kids. But unless you have a kid who really likes doing workbooks, they're not going to enjoy that. And you're going to just have to be a little more creative. So, of course, there's reading lists from the library. And you can go to the library and get summer reading lists. Or some schools give you reading lists. Or you can get them off the web now. And that's a pretty easy thing to do. If you have an older child, even a 10-year-old, I mean, a lot of moms like book clubs. Well, I think it's really nice in the summer to maybe to do a mother-daughter book club. Get, you know,
a couple of
her friends and her parents, yeah, to read like a little book together. And kids love that. They're so excited to do something grown up that the reading is almost secondary. So that's really fun. And then the other thing to remember is that you honestly don't care what they're reading as long as they're reading. So if you've got a son who loves sports, find a couple of Sports Illustrated, a couple of other sports magazines. As long as they're reading and reading articles and not just looking at the pictures, they're reading. So it doesn't have to be that they're out there reading War and Peace. They just have to be using those skills.
Well, I just want to stick my little plug right in here, Dr. Cross, because my daughter and I started listening to the audiobook of Harry Potter, and these audiobooks are outstanding. So I would like to recommend to parents, the audiobook versions of Harry Potter are something that you can sit with your children and she doesn't want to turn it off. And we're listening to this book. And I know that's not reading skills, but it's still learning and a book. And we follow along in the book. And it's just amazing. And it's such a great bonding time. So my little plug is for the Harry Potter audio series, because it is amazing reader that does these books. So I love your ideas of doing it together, a book club, all of these things. Now math, you know, my son just got a little math lesson by having to leave the tip at a restaurant. It was just adding a little math in, having to figure out what was 15 or 20%.
Math is a big part of life. So figuring out what something might cost when you're on sale, or if I give you the money to go buy that, and how much change would you get? That sort of stuff. I mean, that's all math. And so for the younger kids, you know, figuring out the change or figuring out which money to pull out of your wallet to figure out how to pay for something, that's great. And the tip for the older kids who can do percentages, that's great too. I mean, but math is actually something that's really common in board games, card games, games that you play with dice. I mean, if you Google that on the internet, there are so many games that, you know, require math as you know, basic part of the game. I mean, cards is, you know, one of just many, but there are a lot of games that you can play with your child so they don't feel like they're just doing the work. But then also, yeah, just incorporating into your daily life. I mean, that's the same as reading. I mean, there's Boggle and Scrabble and sight word bingo and all sorts of ways to do it without actually having the workbooks. What I like, though, just to go back to your idea about the Harry Potter, is I really love the fact that you're doing that with your child, because I think that that makes all the difference. When it's not them sitting by themselves trying to get something done so then they can finish and go out and do what they really want to do, when it's really something of bonding with your parent, when you're sitting down with them doing the work or sitting down with them enjoying the game, that's something that they're actually going to respond to. And I think that that's a big part of parenting, is to realize that sometimes just being with you makes it worthwhile for the kid.
I agree completely, and we're having a great time. I've read the books, but now it's her turn, and so we're having a great time doing it. And so, like you say, when you get them involved and doing these things, then you can all go out and do your various and sundry summer things. But keeping them involved in their math skills, what about writing? You know, they get back to school, and then they forgot how to write a paragraph, or they forgot how to write a story. Should we be having them write or keep a journal, or is that them saying, come on, I'm not in school?
I think that journals can be done in a really fun way, and I think that journals for older children are a really great way to keep up those skills. And writing is a big part of reading. I mean, when you read, you start to think about the stories. When you write, you start to make up the stories. I mean, they're all those same skills that are intertwined. So I think that writing in a journal is so important for kids. It lets them just express how they're feeling, and you can do it in a lot of different ways. You can say, I think you should just write in your journal how you feel every night before you go to bed, or you can say, you know, we're going to go on this trip, let's get a fun journal, why don't we document what we do. We can get little like scrapbook stuff from different places, like, oh, here's, you know, a business card from this restaurant or whatever, and we'll tape it in your journal, so it's really more of a memory thing, and then they write about like what they ate or what, you know, they did that day. And so it can really be a lot more fun. Those are really fun experiences. And then those are things that the kids can save and look at later. So I don't think a journal has to be sort of that nagging thing that the parents say, did you write in your journal tonight? The other fun thing is just pen pals. You know, people go away on vacation, get a bunch of postcards, write them to grandma, write them to everybody. It's still writing sentences. It's still sort of writing a little bit of a story. Today we did this, next we did that. I mean, depending on the age of the kids, this is sufficient for writing. So there's lots of easy ways to do it for the summer.
I love these suggestions, Dr. Cross, and getting workbooks, getting involved with your children, doing it together, reading, having a book club together, writing journals, you know, letting your children help with a sale or leaving a tip or figuring out, you know, what you owe, are all great ways to keep them learning. But there are other learning ways. We only have a minute and a half left, but I've given my kids some cooking classes over the summer just so that they're doing something to kind of work their mind a little bit, besides some of those other school-type things. We added in a little cooking class.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. For older kids, I mean, you know, they know how to read. You're not going to give them algebra to do over the summer. I mean, things like that. There's lots of fun stuff. If you like Google brain teasers or logic games or even just doing a really hard puzzle, those are all things that just at least keep your mind busy so that you're not sitting and playing video games all day. And honestly, now with having so many amazing apps, if you spend 10 minutes just Googling great apps or, you know, putting stuff in there that you're interested in, you can find so many fun games to play on your iPhone or your iPad that really are challenging and making you think. And I just encourage parents to take a few minutes to figure that out and to set a couple of goals for the summer, because I think that, you know, it's fun to take the summer off, but not completely off from thinking.
Absolutely. Great information, great advice. You're listening to Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. If you missed any of the great information we're giving here, you can listen anytime, on demand or on the go at radiomd.com. Almost didn't say it. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.